The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
No Gil Alexander today. Jonathan Von Tobel filling in. Matt Brown will be with you tomorrow, and then I'll finish out the week on Thursday and Friday here on A&G. Got a good show for the rest of the way, too. We'll have a little bit more on the NBA. We have a Major League Baseball straw poll, and Sia Najad's going to be with us to talk a little U.S. Open. And I can't wait. Kelly is going to pick apart and destroy the golfers that I bet. Can I say, I love the circus great in terms of the golf odds, right? You guys have talked about this a lot in the pod. But what I also love about Circa is the tiny little tweaks they'll constantly do to the odds. So like I'll sit there and be like, man, I got a great number. Awesome. And then I'll look, it's like, oh, he's 22-1 now. He was 18-1 earlier. So it happens. It happens.
And then you add a little bit.
And then I'm like, all right, well, if my hands are tied, then I guess I got to do what I got to do here. Also, just as we were talking about off the air, a lot of good stories when it comes to the Denver Nuggets. Jamal Murray fighting through adversity, had a really bad knee injury. Also had a social media lapse for people who don't remember. You can just look that up. But good to see him back and fighting through it. And as I'm watching footage of him, I think getting thrown in the pool. He had a bottle of champagne and he got thrown in the pool by Jokic.
Where did the pool come from? Yeah, like where are – is this the training facility?
Oh, yeah, that's like a therapy pool or something for sure. Because it's one of those really – it's clearly really shallow because they're both standing in it. And it's very small, so you're not taking laps. Like Jokic, if he were floating on his back, I think his feet would touch – the one side, and his head would touch the other.
Yeah, I'd hate to be that guy because, you know me, I'm always extremely responsible when I drink. You know, there's a, you know, I would never do anything like it. I don't know how I'd feel about my two biggest superstars going diving in like that, into what, a four-foot pool? Like, that is, that could have been real bad.
All right, so Chris Mad Dog Russo on First Take right now is doing his top five NBA title contenders for 2024. We haven't seen the list unveiled yet. Do the Nuggets make it, yes or no?
Yes.
Are they number one or number five?
They make it. The Heat don't.
Are they number one or number five? More likely.
More likely number five, but they're going to be like number three.
They're showing it with odds, so I'd be very curious to see what his top five is going to be. You want to do this whole thing? All right, let's unveil. Number five, no. we'll unveil the whole thing a little bit later, but it does speak to – there was a lot of weird discourse around this season when it came to Jokic and the MVP, and it was kind of odd. When it came to, ooh, upset. He listed the Thunder at number five.
Oh,
let's go.
Man.
Come on.
Did you hear Mark Jackson last night?
Oh, boy. What was it?
No, he was very excited to make it known that he voted for Nikola Jokic for Finals MVP.
Okay. Making up for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Really tough choice there. Really tough choice. That was the other thing. Did you see when Joker was getting the trophy or about to get the trophy? Michael Porter Jr. standing in the background, right? And they haven't listed, they haven't given out the award yet. And MPJ is just doing this.
Yeah,
like pointing to Nikola Jokic like over and over again. Like, come on, relax. Give us.
There was that. There was the moment after Jokic accepted the award, then like put it down and walked away to get his kid.
Yeah.
And then like they were supposed to take some team picture. I think it was Bruce Brown who picked it up and like to find Jokic and couldn't find Jokic.
Yep.
And he just ended up holding the thing for like 5 minutes.
Malone was holding it too at one point.
Yeah, like Malone grabbed it. Yeah.
Like he was the only one that was not holding it. So yeah, it was. Look, that's Jokic. He's a weird guy. Bring the lunch pail to work and then get out of here. I don't want to go to the parade celebration afterwards. All right, so with that, let's really hit, like, we have a lot left to get to in the NBA. Let's take a break from it for a moment. We can come back to that a little bit later. I wanted to hit something really quickly. First off, in baseball, do we want to put this together? I know we talked about this. This is one of my favorite sports betting things when an underdog goes on, like, this run like the Oakland Athletics have gone on, which is like, hey, you know, if you put together money lines on every single one of these teams, this is how much you're up. But the Oakland Athletics, their winning streak continued. This is absolutely nuts to see this. And you're going to get this in baseball. But you see this starting at June 6th. Look at these money line prices for the dog A's of summer, if you will. The six-game winning streak, plus 235, plus 165, plus 210, plus 148, plus 170, and then a 4-3 win over the Tampa Bay Rays last night at plus 220.
Your rollover on $100 money line bet, $63,000, $63,000 and change.
$63,000, huh?
Yep.
I'm sure somebody totally did that.
Sure, I'm sure they did.
I love those. Yeah, I love those after the fact lists.
There's responsible gambling right there.
Yeah, check this out. You know, hey, a 6-game winning streak. Roll it over again, huh? Keep it going.
The only time that's acceptable is if you're actually like in Vegas on like a sports betting trip or something. Fine, whatever. If you
sure.
play, if
like
you,
you
planned
know what
on betting
lose,
that money
yeah.
anyways and losing it, then fine. Just keep doing that.
I mean, I take a little bit.
I would still take a little bit.
Pocket a little bit here. All right. By the way, Kings, Bucks, Nuggets. We're waiting on number one. Nuggets are number two, though, according to Chris Mad Dog Russo. Top five NBA title contenders for 2024. Suns are number one, right?
Probably.
Yeah, there's no way it's not. It's not number one. Might be the New York Knicks, though. He's a New York guy. I'll tell you that much. All right. With that straw poll, let's talk about this really quickly. So we have it's nowhere near, I think, the in-depth process that Tim Bontemps goes through, because he pulls 100 writers from around the country for his NBA MVP straw poll. MLB.com did one, and this is the second one that they have done up to this point this season. They just poll 47 MLB writers from the website. So it's a somewhat large-ish sample size. It does give us an idea of what we're looking at here, though, in terms of at least what some writers view as the race to be had. And I wanted to start in the American League if we could, because I think this is obviously the most interesting one. Shohei Ohtani, and this is from yesterday, before yesterday's performances, Shohei Ohtani was in first. He got 23 of the possible 47 first-place votes. Aaron Judge came in second with 12. Wander Franco came in with 8. Marcus Semien with 3. And Bo Bichette, 5th overall, with 1 first-place vote. Now, Ohtani, what's been interesting is the pitching hasn't quite been there yet, but it's still a guy who pitches as part of a rotation and plays almost every day. And I don't know if you caught what he did yesterday, Kelly. He was awesome yesterday. He hit a game-tying solo shot in the 7th inning, and then in the 12th came up and hit a two-run shot to give him a lead. Whew. Dude was great, and he was feeling it. His bat flip was one of the most magnificent bat flips I've seen when they took that two-run lead yesterday. He was all over it at the plate, helping them beat the Texas Rangers, when I thought it was going to be a pretty ugly series for them, and it started out ugly in the first game. But if this team now, all of a sudden, here's the thing that isn't really, I guess, being accounted for too much, even though he is the odds-on favorite. They're now 5-6 games over 500. If they can take the series from Texas, this is a team that, like, might make a playoff push. I don't want to get too excited, but they actually might make this playoff push, because they're okay. They're not going to win a World Series, but given the extended platform that they're going to have, like, it's going to be something that I think they can do. Man, he's been awesome at the plate lately, and now all of a sudden, if his pitching starts to regress into the mean, I guess, but I can understand it, because I thought the AL was a little bit more wide open, and we have still plenty of time. I think a guy like Wander Franco is going to be a little bit more into this thing. I am surprised Aaron Judge, given the missed time, that he's up there.
Yeah.
But I think, if anything, it tells us that the AL MVP is still somewhat open, even though Ohtani's going to be up there. And I think there is some room for growth, even though he did have a big MVP moment last night.
Yeah, so you said this to me, obviously. That was the first thing that jumped out to me was, man, This Judge Shohei conversation is still going to continue, seemingly, I don't know, forever. Where, no, like, Shohei's never going to be the guy. I guess what we're never just handing the MVP award to him every year, even though he probably deserves it every single year. Matt Brown and Paul Sporer were talking yesterday. Wander Franco, 30-1. Dude, any interest in that right now?
I want to bet.
What they were really liking it yesterday.
So they can actually. So there's actually out there. I brought this up over the weekend, and I'll have to check the odds. It's been a couple of days. But there's a future prop out there, Wander Franco to win AL MVP, and Shane McClanahan to win AL Cy Young, 85-1.
So now, there we go, I like it.
Right, so like you obviously got to get, but like Wander Franco, if you look at some of the numbers, like the metrics, he is up there with all of these guys. And I was reading the New York Post yesterday, you know, one of the things that's going to work here against Aaron Judge is it sounds like the Yankees are okay with like we don't need to rush him back. We think we're going to be in decent position. Now, they have not played particularly well, especially from an offensive standpoint without him. I'll get there was a great stat about the middle of their order that I'll get here in a second. But that's something, too, that, again, this straw poll doesn't really represent. If they're going to do the slow rollout with Judge and he's going to miss a good amount of time, at the very least, Kelly, Wander Franco's got to be, you would think, having a good opportunity to finish second. Mm-hmm. And thus, the odds on him winning this thing, when you're talking about 30-1 or better, because I think there's a couple of spots that had him a little better than 30-1, it's got to be something that you want to mess around with, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, look, after the conversation yesterday and the one we're having today and seeing this, I mean, look, this is maybe not a straw poll you could read into as much as what we do with the Tim Bontemps NBA one, right. But at least it gives you a little bit of an idea. 30-1 on a guy who's coming in third right now, Aaron Judge. Who knows how long he's going to be on the IL? Man, I think it's worth a few bucks.
Yeah, since Judge has been out of the lineup, Anthony Rizzo, Giancarlo Stanton, Josh Donaldson, Gleyber Torres, and DJ LeMahieu have combined to hit 109 with 5 extra base hits and a 448 OPS. So it has not really been great. Maybe he's going to increase his standing as an MVP candidate. Really quick in the National League, this is exactly, I think, what we thought. Again, it's only 47 riders. It reflects the odds, though. 42 of the potential first-place votes going to Ronald Acuna to win this thing. Freddie Freeman with the paltry 4. Luis Arias getting just one MVP vote of the 47 that voted for this thing. How about the rookie Corbin Carroll? Third.
Yeah.
Huh?
Did the writer of the article, things we should have definitely cleared up off air, did the writer of the article decide to order these guys even though they didn't receive a vote?
I think because it was on a point system. So the writers ranked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, when the voting system was rank your top five and, you know, give your first place votes, just like any MVP thing.
Gotcha.
So, like, Luis Reyes probably got one first place vote, I would assume, from, like, the Miami writer, and then everybody else had him, like, fourth or fifth. And so that gets you the one, and then there you go. But, look, like, Corbin Carroll, for those who didn't see what he did over the weekend against Detroit, he was freaking brilliant again. He's been absolutely awesome. We'll talk a little bit more about the D-backs later because they're underdogs again today against the Phillies. But Carroll, I know he was a sexy pick. Did you see what happened? So he goes from about 150-1 right before this weekend series. He's now like 50-40-1 to win MVP.
Wow.
He's a rookie of the year candidate.
That's crazy.
It's insane what he's been able to do at the plate. But I would say this safely tells us congrats on jumping on a triple-digit number for Carroll. But right now, if Acuna Jr. is going to just continue to do what he's doing, he's not in the clubhouse, but at this point of the season, he's dangerously close to walking away with this thing.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, we'll have a little bit more a little bit later on baseball because we want to get to that. Let's talk U.S. Open. Sian Najad's going to be with us, PGA NFL analyst for Sportsline. Get his thoughts on what he's got in terms of best bets for the U.S. Open. And can I get some answers about this course? What are we looking at this weekend? Come on.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN website has a lot of things to offer. One of those things, of course, the betting splits. You can check out money bets for every game. It's updated every 10 minutes. You get today's games and future events as well. Check it out. One of the many tools that the website has to offer at VSiN.com. Yeah, I wanted to, I was mentioning this in the break. The A's, with baseball's longest active winning streak. Today is the reverse boycott for A's fans today. I believe that they are going to flood the Coliseum and buy tickets and show them what they're thinking.
All right.
So we'll see. You're not a big fan, huh?
Gonna have to get all those feral cats out of there first to get a seat.
That's a good point.
Going on? Are there like cats taking over the Oakland Coliseum?
In that place, probably. I haven't been in the Coliseum. I've been in the parking lot and looking at that thing. I would not be surprised. All right, Sian Najad is with us. Not to talk A's baseball. That's boring, even though they are the hottest team in Major League Baseball. Let's talk U.S. Open. Sian, of course, PGA NFL analyst for Sportsline, co-host of the First Cut podcast, at Sian Najad on Twitter. All right, Sian, I wanted to start with this first off. Can you give us some background on this course? Now, I've been looking around trying to get some information. What have you dug up at this point right now? What kind of course are we looking at? What kind of golfers does it suit that we're going to see later this week?
You know, I first of all, thanks for having me on the show, JVT. Kelly, happy to be back with you. And I'll tell you, this is going to be kind of a new thing. We have LACC where we haven't had a tournament. We had the Walker Cup in 2017. But what I will say is, and I hate to be super defiant with my take here in terms of like, this is what you definitely need because this is a new course. But we have wide fairways, and I think that lends, and it's going to be firm and fast. I think that lends itself to people thinking, well, you don't have to be super long here because it is going to be firm and fast. You're going to get some run out. And I think that's actually true. But I still want to defer to the guys who have distance off the tee, preferably some accuracy with that distance, because I think when it comes to the greens being firm and fast as well, I think to hold those greens, you're going to need short irons coming in. So I'm looking for guys who are prolific off the tee, which I don't normally have a huge emphasis on. And of course, I'm looking for good approach. The around the green game, I'd like to de-emphasize that relative to the market, but I do have it sort of built into my weighted tee to green metrics. So I'm looking at tee to green. I'm looking at off the tee a little bit more than I normally do. And then, of course, I'm looking at approach.
All right, so let's talk about the thought of, you know, if there's some unfamiliarity with the course overall, one of the popular talking points, a lot of these guys who, of course, maybe have some familiarity here at the top of that list is going to be one Max Homa. What do we make of that angle? Because I would assume, like, while there is some familiarity here, this is also going to be a course that they're going to try to make as tough as possible, right? So how much does that familiarity actually help for some of these California guys?
I don't think it helps as much as other courses that that these guys are normally on the California swing. And that's because you have sort of different grass complexes, different greens. It's a different setup than your typical California course. So while it's still going to help guys like Patrick Cantlay, guys like Max Homa, to be honest with you, it is not an emphasis for me at all. In fact, Max Homa is really one of my fade candidates this for the U.S. Open. And part of the reason for that is because Max Homa hasn't been playing very well. So I'm not going to give him a bump. It looks like the odds have given him a bump, but I'm not going to give him a bump because he's usually good on the West Coast. He still may be good, but he's certainly a fade candidate for me because he's just not playing well.
All right, so let's go over some specific golfers then. You mentioned some parameters in terms of their game, what you're looking at. So which golfer specifically do you think would fit that form?
Well, I'll start with Patrick Cantlay, who happens to be a California guy. And for the record, hasn't been very good in majors. But listen, a lot of these sort of narratives about some of these golfers, I think they're starting to go away. I mean, especially over the last 6 months, you've seen a lot of guys sort of tackle and defeat the narrative that's been cast upon them. And I think in Patrick Cantlay's case, he's just so good off the tee. He can be so good with the short game. So I actually like him. I like his number at plus 1700. You can shop that around, but it's usually between, you know, plus 1500, plus 1800. I think he's a really good candidate to take this thing down. Now, listen, Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm, guys like that, or Brooks Koepka, they are the favorites for a good reason. I just don't want to take those short numbers. From a value standpoint, I think Patrick Cantlay at like around plus 1700 makes a lot of sense. I'm also looking at Victor Hovland, who we know just got a win at plus 1800. I think he can be great out here. And then some long shots, Bryson DeChambeau at 45-1. I got to say, Bryson is, he was a surprise to me at the PGA Championship, but perhaps he shouldn't have been. I mean, at the Masters, we saw glimpses of the old Bryson where he was actually hitting it pretty well. And then on LIV, he's been really good. And then at the PGA Championship, he was second in the field ball striking. I just think at 45-1, we're underappreciating Bryson. And part of the reason for that is because we just haven't seen a lot of them. And the last we remember of Bryson from like last year, he was kind of injured. We didn't know from his body whether he was going to be big Bryson or small Bryson. He's sort of middled that at this point. I think Bryson at 45-1 makes sense. And then Ricky Fowler, who other than the PGA Championship has been on a torrid stretch this entire calendar year. This would be maybe one of those times where we see something great. Like we saw Justin Rose, one of those older veteran guys, win earlier this year. It could be Ricky Fowler's turn at 50-1. And then finally, Mito Pereira, my favorite of the two kind of main Chileans here that are on the LIV Tour, it's Joaquin Neiman and it's Mito Pereira. I think Mito Pereira, he's been great on the LIV Tour. He was great at the PGA Championship. I think 80-1, he has tremendous upside.
So when we're coming into a tournament like this, what do you make of recent form? You know, one of the guys I call him one of my FOMO guys. I had a couple, but I got it with Hideki Matsuyama that year at the Masters, one of my favorite golfers. Tommy Fleetwood has been there, too, ever since that showing at Shinnecock where he had a massive, a great weekend. I think it was one of the rounds, either Sunday or Saturday, and ultimately finished behind Brooks Koepka. Tommy Fleetwood's in pretty good recent form. We saw what happened at the RBC. So what do we make of guys in terms of recent form and specifically a guy like Fleetwood?
Well, first of all, I like both of the guys you mentioned. Yep. Decky, I like, and I like Fleetwood. I think the problem with Fleetwood, and I hate to lean on the word narrative again, but it's kind of coming true. Every time he finds himself in contention, he kind of wilts. And I'm not just going back to last week. It's really been the few times he's been in contention this year where once he gets to, you know, 15, 16, 17, he starts to wilt on a Sunday. So I don't really like him in the outright market. I like him in DFS. I think he's fine. I like him in the top 20, top 40 market if you want to go there. He's not going to be an outright for me, but I think you're completely on point. Tommy Fleetwood's doing everything well. Yep. Ball striking, short game, putting. Like, he literally has the all-around game that you would be looking for, especially on a course like this, which is a relative unknown. When you're not exactly sure what is going to be required on a course, what do you want? You want a guy who has all the tools in the bag. Tommy Fleetwood is certainly a top five candidate when it comes to that.
As I've said too, Kelly, we were talking about this. As long as Mott shaves the beard, I think the beard was weighing him down a couple of weeks
back.
Ago.
Yeah, there you go.
Looked good. But ultimately, the way he collapsed, you don't really like that juju. And by the way, I did have Tommy Fleetwood in the playoff against Nick Taylor at minus 122 over the weekend. So that's a good way to go down. All right, let's talk about some head-to-heads really quickly. And some of the guys, I'll ask you this before you get into some of them. Are these specifically, hey, I am pro this golfer, it's why I'm playing it? Are you fading certain golfers? Walk us through a couple of your matchups that you have.
That's a really good question. These are mostly fade the golfers as opposed to supporting the guy I'm supporting, but it's a little bit of both. So Ricky Fowler, I mentioned as a potential outright at 50-1, I have him minus 120 over Jason Day. Jason Day is a really interesting story. He hasn't been very good over the last couple of tournaments, whereas he was really good, you know, prior to that. But he's also working off a bone bruise in his wrist. I have no idea what the status of that is. So what I have to go on is what he's been doing over the last couple of tournaments, which hasn't been very good. Ricky Fowler, on the other hand, not only has he been good, but he's been closing tournaments well. So minus 120 over Jason Day. I really like that. Shane Lowry minus 110 over Cameron Young. Well, let's talk about fade candidates here. Cameron Young is going to be one of them. He seems like a good course fit, but Shane Lowry seems like a good course fit too. And frankly, Shane Lowry's been playing a lot better than Cameron Young. So minus 110, I think, is a very fair price. And then finally, Mito Pereira, Chilean on Chilean crime over Joaquin Niemann. Niemann's good. He's been playing okay on the LIV Tour, but Mito Pereira not only has been playing well on the LIV Tour, but played well at the PGA Championship and the Masters as well. This guy has plenty of upside. We're going to see him pass Joaquin Niemann in the odds and in DFS pricing and things of that nature sooner rather than later. So minus 130 over Niemann makes a lot of sense to me.
All right, so before we get you out of here really quick, Kelly wanted me to ask you, in terms of first round leader, where you're looking, and also walk me through the process here, because you see some pretty random names at the top of the leaderboard after a first round. So what's the process in kind of putting your finger on one of these guys?
Well, a lot of it is who can pop in 18 holes versus four rounds. Yeah. There's a lot of guys who have incredible upside for a round, but you know they don't have the staying power over four rounds. And the reality is the odds aren't necessarily adjusted from the tournament outrights to the first round leader outrights. They are different, but the point is they're not adjusted enough to account for the randomness of the first round and the randomness of a guy spiking. So a lot of times I like to take a guy who I've seen in the past can spike, whether it's the first round or the fourth round, it doesn't matter to me. I just want to be able to see them spike for 18 holes. And I have a few guys here. Now, I need tee time, so that's the qualifier here. Tee times will come out in an hour or two. But the guys I have my eye on right now who hopefully have morning tee times, because that's what I'm leaning into, Brooks Koepka at 26-1, Victor Hovland at 30-1, Bryson, there's that name again. He has the same exact odds as his outright odds at 45-1, Mito Pereira, 70-1, Russell Henley, 80-1. I really like him this tournament. And then finally, a long shot, triple digits, 110-1, Mr. Patrick Rogers.
Last 30 seconds. What's the value of the tee time? What's the importance behind it?
Well, usually you want to go out in the morning because usually the wind conditions are lessened in the morning. It starts to pick up in the afternoon. But even if the wind doesn't pick up at LACC, you just have better course conditions because the putting greens are going to be kind of less messed up by the players treading on them for an entire 3-4 hours. It's just a more pristine conditions when it comes to the morning. I would say 9 out of 10 times.
I like it. Sian Najad again. U.S. Open preview with him. If you can follow all his work over at Sportsline at Sian Najad on Twitter. Thanks for coming on, man. Really good conversation. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Kelly, you're going to pick your brain on this as well. I've got a couple of golfers already in the pocket. We'll talk about that and whether or not I'm barking up the right tree on some of these. And we'll get back to a big name in the NBA free agency pool that has decided to enter it. And it could change the course of some teams, I would think.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you can check out all the tools that we have. That would be our Picks at a Glance page, at least one of them. And you can look through it. You can sort by sport. You can sort by your favorite VSiN host. It's Wes Reynolds. Come on. We all know it is. Top VSiN experts leaderboard as well. Check it out now. VSiN.com/subscribe. And if you haven't already, this is your last chance. Every time I say it, it's going to be the last one. $9.99. VSiN.com/subscribe. I've been fighting the good fight. I told Bill, keep it open. There keep it open for the people.
Or just move it a cent every day.
That's what I say, but more expensive.
Okay.
Not cheaper.
Yeah, that's
it's your
right.
fault. You could have gotten 99.
JVT needs a new TV.
Another one. I tell you, so I will say, so for those who, you know, those who don't follow me, of course, there's a lot of smart people on here who rightfully so don't. One of my big things over the weekend was I got a new TV.
You were very excited about
it. Oh, so very excited. And I have to say,
this hits the audience. This is sports betting. Like, you need to know about TVs. Yeah.
So now my living room setup is now 65-inch and 55-inch. So it's pretty decent, I would think, in terms of screen. I want to get – so the way it's set up, I have, like, my two TVs. I want to get a third TV mounted so I could swing it out over the top of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To get threes, to get a third screen, it would be really nice. I don't think I have to do that until next NBA season because, you know, I like baseball, but there's not going to be a moment where I'm, like, sitting down watching, like, three baseball games at once.
Yeah.
I enjoy it, but like, let's be real. I'm not Adam Burke. So I think I'm going to wait for that. But, man, this TV, like I was telling you first off, I feel old saying this. These things are thin, man. Like, I got this OLED Samsung whatever. I think it's like 3 centimeters thick at
best. I was just kind of sitting back here nodding when you were talking about it, but what'd you say what you said to me?
About what, the bent?
Yeah.
So, like, when you pick it up, for our visual audience, it's going to work better for you. I freaked out because it literally, like, it's flat like this, and when you pick it up, it bends. Like, it literally bends.
It scared me.
I was screaming at my kids, don't get near the TV, get away, I'm trying to do something. It was crazy, but it's also awesome. I want to have surgery on my eyes so I can see things in real life like I look at this television. It's better than my eyesight. It's absolutely great. But I'll also say this. This is the good part. Got my wife hooked because she's looking at me. We're watching TV last night, and she's enamored with how great this TV is. She goes, couldn't get 72? And I was like, now I know. You're going to get 72 next time. Let's get this thing done. Or 85, either way. You know, I need a bigger I need a bigger spot. But how big's your TV?
I got a 65 and a 60 in the living room. But I want to go. I told you I want to get one of the, like, the 90 whatever, get one of the splitters where you can, like, quad box it.
My dad's got an 85, and it's, man, is it nice.
Yeah, they are pricey though. There's no doubt.
About it. And the cool thing is, so now it's the smart TV. So, like, I'm all, Alexa, turn on the TV. Alexa, turn it off. Alexa, volume. Oh, it's great. I can't do it. It's. Man, yeah, China's so got all of my information, dude. We're on the web.
I didn't even know they were at that point. Like, I have smart TVs, but, like, they're the dumbest smart TVs, you know what I mean? From like 5-6 years ago. That stuff's incredible. The one thing I warn anybody though, it's like you can't buy a new, whatever price tag you see on a new TV, tack on like $500 more at least to get yourself a decent speaker setup.
Yes,
I need you can't hear anything out of these TVs.
Gotta get that. And I will say too, how about the remote control? Is solar powered. There's no batteries. It's got like a solar panel on the back.
All right. That hurts my brain.
That's right. It's crazy.
How does that work?
I don't know.
When you leave the house, you're supposed to put your remote control outside?
I just think like any ambient light from the sun charges it. I don't know. But like there's no spot for batteries. It's just a solar panel on the back of the remote.
How does that work?
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. I got the TV cart when I was leaving Best Buy. I was great. Absolutely great. I never want to leave home.
You live in like Alaska and there's sunlight, like, you know, it's a winter and there's sunlight for like 2 hours.
They have electricity in Alaska?
They have electricity.
Oh, man, I didn't know that.
We got to get you out of Nevada.
Right. Continental United States. I went to Hawaii one time. It was great. Found a nice little burger joint. Ooh, man, the dive bar we went to was fantastic. Okay, so let's build on U.S. Open conversations.
Yeah.
We were talking with Steven Ajat about this. So I texted Kelly. I wanted him to pick apart the golfers that I had bet for this thing. Get a little scratch in the game for a major. But first off, I want to ask you, because first, let's advertise. Long Shots preview today?
Yeah.
11 o'clock?
Big U.S. Open preview today, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time on the DK Network and VSiN.
I like it. All right, good. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's simulcast on DK. Hey, we've been on DK Network before.
That's right.
I had no idea. That's awesome. Yeah, so check that out. That's going to be out later today. And, of course, I would assume if you don't catch it live, it will be available in podcast and then video form, wherever you want to check that out. So with that, you want my golfers first?
Yeah, give me your golfers, JVT.
All right. We'll start top and work our way down. Victor Hovland at 18-1.
Okay.
Recent form, as we know, just all around nice guy, Victor Hovland, who is one of those dudes. I think, is it fair in saying, like, this is kind of the year we're really waiting for something like this? Like, come out and win a U.S.
Yes.
Open. He's got the game to do it. Seems like it's the year to do it. And getting a win like he did a couple of weeks back. I fell for it with Max Homa, right? Course record during the Pac-12 title run that he went on way back when, but it wasn't too far back. Was it 61 course record that Homa has here at the LA Country Club? At the very least, some familiarity there. Bid on 22-1. He's actually up to, I think when I looked this morning, he was the one of the guys I was referencing. He's like 26, 28-1 now.
Yeah. He was 30s over the weekend. Yep. So yeah, I think he got shortened when the market got updated again usually on Sunday night, Mondays when they kind of readjust the futures odds for these ones, for tournaments like this, the majors that have been up for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got adjusted back down to like 22 to 25 in most places. But yeah, I think you're going to continue to see him drift.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll add more. Then I'll just sit back and wait. Yeah. If that gets over 30, then I'll add some more.
I think there's a lot, like, real quick, I think there's a lot to like about Homa with some of the experience. I mean, look, this is a guy I was betting a ton earlier in the season. I do agree with what Sia said a bit. It just his recent form, he's not exactly coming in like he was playing, you know, a few months ago, where really, if it was a few months ago, everybody was gobbling up tickets on him for this tournament. I believe Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds both have tickets on him that they bet then at like 50-1. He absolutely could. Like you said, JVT, he is one of the guys that has a little bit of experience with this course. Even listening to him, though, talk yesterday, he was talking about, hey, a lot of what Sia said, this isn't like a lot of the California golf courses we play. The bent grass greens aren't what you see a lot in California. I kind of threw it out, too, as far as the California golfer narrative. It's not really something that I was really building my card around.
Okay, and the other is, I will say, there's a recent form is, Tommy Fleetwood took one on the chin over the weekend. That's tough. Like, he had played relatively well to force that playoff, whatever, loses the way that he does, the 70-whatever-foot putt. But I think recent form for Fleetwood, playing relatively well, and he is, there's no science behind this, he's my next FOMO guy, Kelly. He is the guy that I've included on tickets, like cards before for like majors. I had him that year at Shinnecock, and ever since then, it was kind of the same thing with Hideki Matsuyama. Watch him get close, watch how good he is at golf, and said, you know what, if he's ever going to get it, I want to be there. Like, I can't not be there for my guy Tommy Fleetwood. So he was at 55-1, added him, no real adjustment to 54-1. Any real problems with any of these three?
Okay, Homa, I wouldn't bet at that number, personally. Right. That me personally,
well, it's too late for that, Kelly.
Yeah, me personally, I'm not betting Max Homa at that number. I'm not betting Tommy Fleetwood in the outright markets.
Okay.
I would look at him at a top 20, top 40. I think that's a good bet for him. There's too many. It's not that he can't do it. There's just too many dang good golfers in this field, man. Right. I think for him to fight through is going to be tough. The one I'm a little disappointed in is not seeing your boy Matsuyama.
So I haven't added him yet. I was actually having heat, so I'm adding more. I'm not done.
I'm high on Decky this week.
Okay, so Matsuyama is one of them.
He's not going to be an outright bet for me, JVT, but I am high on Decky this week. Okay. I do have a couple bets on him
already. He's been playing well. Matsuyama's at 57-1 now, and I'm glad I waited because when I looked the other day, it was like 52. Mm-hmm. So he's at 57 now. I haven't done it yet. Talk me out of, he hasn't been really playing that well. Withdrew from the Memorial. We haven't seen him since. What's going on with Colin Morikawa?
I think it's another one where we have these conversations a lot on long shots of, I could build you a case pro and against, you know, for right. and against him. But when you're playing in a major like this and there's so many guys that I like, it's just so easy to cross him off the list.
Can I just say,
are a lot of people going to be doing what I just said? Probably, so there's probably going to end up being some value on whatever number he ends up at.
He's 40-1, what I'm looking at right now.
I wouldn't bet it yet. Yeah. I think he's going to keep drifting.
Yeah, I'm looking at 40-1.
That's a long number.
If for him, and here's the thing, I will always have that year at the Open, the British mm-hmm. Open, at Jordan Spieth, and I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And Morikawa comes in and just lights that course on fire. He was brilliant. We all know the story right beforehand. Wright had never played links golf, whatever. Looked terrible the week prior. Was at the Scottish Open. And then comes in. Like, some of these guys, we talk about, like, recent form, course history, whatever. Some guys can buck that. And Morikawa, at least he did it on one of the bigger stages. He's been a guy that's always been at the back of my mind for it, too. All right,
I left your first guy off my list, Victor Hovland. I did bet him as well, so I like it.
You did? Okay.
Ringing endorsement on Hovland.
Okay, good.
I bet him a few weeks ago, so I got a little bit longer number. But he's still, I think, in that range. If you can find him like you did, 18-20, I think it's still okay betting him. I'm still okay with that.
Any long shot? What are we looking long shot wise?
Siwoo Kim, baby.
Siwoo? Okay.
I'm really high on Siwoo Kim this week. I don't really think he's actually going to win the thing, but I did do a small outright bet on him. I will be playing him in top 20 markets. I think I saw Sia with a top 40 on him. I think that's a good bet as well. And top South Korean matchups, I like Siwoo this week.
All right, well, let's take a break so I can add these two, Hideki Matsuyama and Siwoo Kim, to the betting portfolio for the U.S. Open. We'll come back. We have a little bit more on baseball. We also have, as we mentioned, news in the association. First free agent domino has fallen. We'll discuss what Fred VanVleet can do for a certain team.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. If you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense reminds you to play responsibly, offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms. Got to be 21. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem. 1-800-GAMBLER is the number.
All right, we get tweets. And a reminder, you can go follow JVT, at me JVT. Follow him on Twitter. Amazing tweet just coming in from Edward Hamilton out there. Tweeting at me, tell JVT thanks a lot for turning all my Alexa TVs on.
Nice. Nice. You're welcome. I thought they fixed that. They, like, I don't know. Look,
no,
I don't know the science.
It happens to me, too. It happens to me. I'm at home, and I got TVs on, and then, like, something, they say something, and all my devices go bloop, 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 bloop.
I remember, obviously, when the commercial started coming out, that was a really big problem. I thought they did something to fix it. I apologize.
I mean, I'm sure they did, but...
Alexa, play Mambo number 5. It'd be great.
Just starts playing. Mine will be like, we're recording a podcast or something, and, like, I don't say anywhere near that word. You know what I mean? It'll be like, Trey Young, and then it's like, bloop, bloop, bloop. Like, no, that not will, even close.
Remember, it was right around, like, the pandemic time. Do you remember where there was, like, that, I don't know if it was, like, an attack, but there was, like, a stretch where these Alexas were freaking out, and they were doing one of two things. They were laughing randomly without any, like, any spurning or whatever, right? Just randomly laughing or giggling, whatever.
That would terrify me so
much. Oh, how about this next one? This will terrify you even more. Apparently, some of them, for some people, would randomly give out directions to the nearest morgue.
What?
Yeah. Like, this is apparently, yes. We got to look up these stories. Yes.
This is crazy.
Like, I'm telling you.
That actually wouldn't freak me out as much. I don't know why, but it wouldn't. If I just heard laughter in my place.
Yeah, that would be pretty crazy. Especially
I live by myself. You know, it's not like there's someone else in the other room. I'd be like, wait, who's laughing?
Especially at night, where it's like, ha ha. I will say, now that I have it linked up to my TV, though, now I'm getting it to its full extent. Because usually it's just, hey, what's the weather? And
right,
then, like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
just some
play
annoying
music
thing. Right. Yeah. Some annoying thing for my kid. You know, now it's, all right, this is it. We lose the remote all the time. Don't need it anymore. You and your solar-powered nonsense. Just got to use my voice.
Yeah, that was one thing. When I moved out here to Vegas, it was 5 years ago now, but, like, that was the first voice-activated remote I ever had. I have no idea what channel anything is on in Vegas.
Oh,
because I just speak into the remote.
Well, that's my thing with YouTube TV now. There's no channel numbers. It's all just, like, there. I can search it. I can find it. They have, like, the library page now, or excuse me, the home page now, where it just takes all your viewing habits. So my home page is all just sporting events. So, you know, when it comes up,
nice,
it's all just there. Yeah, dude. TV channels? What are those?
I got it. Yeah, I got to make the switch.
Yeah, my mom asked me the other day. She's like, what channel is this? I'm like, I don't know. You peon? Like, what do you have regular cable for? That's not the way to do it. What are we doing anymore? All right, before we move to our conversation about the NBA, I wanted to hit – there's two games that really stuck out in Major League Baseball that we were going to get to that I just wanted to show some notes on. I played some small bets to have a little bit of action later in the day. I wanted to start with, can we go to the Subway Series? Can we go to Mets and Yankees? This is going to be pretty fascinating. So Scherzer's a guy who last time out, I did play against him. It was a start against Atlanta. Got off to a decent start, but ultimately got knocked around for about 5 runs in the start against Atlanta. Mets ultimately lost the game. He went 5 2/3, 5 earned runs, and now gave up a home or 2, 11 hits overall. And the thing with Scherzer, the thing that I've kind of been looking to do, I think he's still getting priced as a guy who's like, you know, Max Scherzer, but he hasn't really been pitching like it. His numbers would dictate that. 3.71 ERA, 4.04 expected fielding independent for Scherzer, having a little bit of a problem, at least by his standards, especially over the last few years, in comparison with the last few years, in terms of home runs. And even though I get it with no Aaron Judge, also on the other side, we know that Alonso's not in the lineup, that this Yankees lineup is somewhat weak. And I gave the numbers earlier for those who don't remember them. Since Judge has been out of the lineup, Rizzo, Stanton, Donaldson, Torres, LeMahieu combined to hit 109. I understand all of that. But to me, it's just kind of a price thing, Kelly. For the market, I saw an overnight of $1.40 up to $1.50, $1.55. I was like, you know what? You're looking at this. Like, I think Scherzer's a little bit more flawed than the market would think, and I get that there's no Judge, but there's also another injury on the other side. So for me, it was just a play on the price. I thought that was definitely worth taking a small bite for the New York Yankees. And honestly, same thing with Arizona. You get the battle of the Zachs later today. Zach Wheeler versus Zach Davies. Wheeler, look, and the numbers are great for Wheeler. Wheeler has been awesome. You're looking at a 3.91 ERA, 3.59 expected, so you can even make the argument that he could pitch a little bit better or get some better results from his pitches. I mean, his strikeout numbers are up from last year. He's still in command in terms of his walks. Like, he's been very, very good. But when I look at this and I see the way the D-backs have been playing, and you get on the other side, Zach Davies, who's supposed to get the start here for the D-backs. And look, is Davies the lesser pitcher of the two Zachs? Yes. But 4.68 ERA on the surface, maybe not as bad as the 4.42. His expected ERA is actually under 4, 3.93. So not giving up a ton of hard contact. I think that there's something here where I think this D-backs offense, it's a little bit better. Obviously, we have Carroll here. Like, just a team that's kind of been, I think, a little undervalued as it's gone along. I personally have watched enough with the Phillies that would make me think I want to lay $1.30 on the road against Arizona. So, yeah, put a small price on two underdogs or small bets on two underdogs, Yankees okay. and D-backs in these games, but specifically the D-backs at home. Very interested in them later today.
So. I like it. Are the Diamondbacks, because I've been kind of noticing this as well. I feel like, do you think the price, are they the Miami Heat of Major League Baseball right now? Are we adjusting prices on them properly, or the sportsbook still treating them like what we thought, like they thought of this team preseason and really not adjusting too much yet?
I mean, I'd make the argument they're still pricing them like the team that they thought they were. Like, I think this is a good example. You know, if you want to say that Wheeler is worth some respect, I can maybe understand a pick or something like that. But like here to give me plus 130 right. with this team in that range with them at home, they're the seventh best or eighth best offense in terms of weighted runs created plus. They have big players in their lineup, as we talked about with Carroll and others. Longoria swinging the bat relatively well. Like I like this team, so I would make the argument. If someone, keep in mind, like I haven't tracked the betting market every single day, so I'm going to give you the most accurate read like I can in the NBA. I would say yes. Like I think there's maybe some mispricing here of Arizona.
Okay. I just wanted to ask that because I think that's obviously we saw that a lot with. You know, the Miami Heat throughout the postseason, people pointing that out over and over again. And it's, okay, until this team either starts to lose or these odds start to adjust more, I think it's a look to bet on.
Yep, I would agree with that, absolutely. All right, so we mentioned him a couple of times really quickly. Again, I think I would stress that we're on the verge of a lot of player movement in the NBA. Now, this has to do with the free agency class coming up. Fred VanVleet is a really good player. I emphasize really good. He's not going to be the greatest player, and I think his weight in terms of what he adds to a championship team is only maximized by the team that's going to be around him. So in other words, I think Fred VanVleet is worth more to, I'll just throw out a team, a Los Angeles Clippers type than he would be for a Charlotte Hornets, because he can be the thing that tips it over to championship contender. But for a team like the Charlotte Hornets, he's not going to raise their floor ceiling high enough to that you're going to be like, hey, that team now I think can like be a playoff contender or whatever it is. So him enacting his, or you know, declining his player option, hitting the free agent market, it was kind of expected. The rumblings this was going to happen. He was only slated to make about mid-20s in terms of millions. So he wants a new deal, and he can still sign with the Toronto Raptors. But I think him, this is big news, and it also speaks to how weak this free agency class is, Kelly. He's going to be arguably the top free agent. And like that's where you're at with this free agent class overall. Chris Middleton is a player option as well. I don't think he's going to be declining that because that's plus $40 million. Yeah. And I don't think he's getting out on the open market. So there's a very good shot that Fred VanVleet's going to be the biggest name. And we'll see where he ends up. But he's going to have some suitors amongst these contenders. And especially if a team like Philly misses out on like James Harden, if he leaves, for example. Could fit somewhat nicely there, but he is arguably the best free agent in this class.
Yeah, I think you put it well. You're not going to see, I don't think you're going to see a bad team go out and try to sign him because he's going to be costly and he's not a guy that can singularly turn around your entire franchise. But you put him on a team that has some pieces in place already. This guy is a very good guard in the NBA, can kind of play either role, point or shooting guard, kind of combo guard there. I didn't realize, JVT, what, he finished this past season, tops in career in three point makes and steals. So I mean, it does kind of tell you what kind of player you're getting with Fred VanVleet. Only 29. Feels like he's been on the Raptors forever.
Yep.
But yeah, only 29 years old. So you're still catching this guy right kind of in the prime of his career. I hear you that he's not the flashiest name. We're not going to get the greatest free agent class. But, man, I think he's going to make a pretty major impact on whatever team he does end up landing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I even think, too, like, so I know that there's, like, Ramona Shelburne reported the rumors around James Harden and the Phoenix Suns. I think he'd fit great with Phoenix.
Yes, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I think he'd be great. I think he'd be great there, yes. Yeah,
as a potential off-ball point guard that can work, that can shoot, that can give you some relatively good defense at the point of attack. No, he'd be great. And I say arguably because we're going to be in a free agency class where, you know, James Harden theoretically is going to be available. Kyrie Irving could be available or he's going to be available. You know, Kyrie Irving, you can argue if he's a good free agent because we don't know how available he's going to be and when he actually signs. But regardless, it's a somewhat weak free agent class overall. All right, with that, hopefully it was a very weak show. We're all done. Matt Brown's going to be back here with us tomorrow for a numbers game. Then I'll take you the rest of the week on Thursday and Friday. Make sure you check out later today. Kelly and Matt and everybody else will be there for Long Shots. That'll be at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And again, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, check out everything we have to offer up on the website. Have a good day. Good luck. And I'll talk to you at least on Thursday.